This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Back-to-school season can be one of jittery nerves or unabashed excitement for students who are timid or eager about returning to the classroom after a long summer break. For some families, though, the new school year brings about an influx of cost and a serious financial burden. Local organizations in Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati are stepping up to help. And joining Cincinnati Edition now are Campbell Connection Families in Transition Coordinator Megan Von Handorf. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
St. Vincent de Paul Cincinnati Director of Social Services Mary Reed. Welcome, Mary.
Thanks for having me.
And Be Concerned Executive Director Andy Brunsman. Welcome, Andy.
Thanks, Michael.
We want to hear from you about the costs that you've had to deal with as school returns for another year. Give us a call, 513-419-7100. Were you surprised by the amount of money you had to spend on your kids, or are you looking at some prices and are starting to feel concerned before you step out to those stores? Call 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets there. So the Huntington Index came out last month with its 13th annual report on consumer spending and school supplies. And here are the key findings of the so-called Backpack Index. According to a survey of communities and schools, affiliates across 26 states and the District of Columbia, 62% of respondents reported that elementary school students are at least sometimes asked to submit assignments from home via connected devices. And that same figure jumped to 88% for middle school students and 94% for high school. So that's a cost associated with the infrastructure that households need to have. Additionally, for the upcoming year, according to the Huntington Backpack Index, parents can expect to pay per child $1,017 for elementary school supplies, extracurricular fees, and technology. And the numbers go up to $1,277 for middle school students and $1,668 for high school supplies. Those numbers are up pretty significantly over the year before. So, panel, what is the source of these rising costs?
Well, Michael, I think one of the things you talked about early on was technology cost. And that's one thing you'll see in the breakdown from the Huntington Backpack Index is across all three different kind of levels of education there. There's a fixed technology cost of over $700. And a lot of that, I think, is the more we're doing in classrooms for students, the different connectivities they used to have or they have to have now to submit assignments and do their work. I don't remember having those large technology costs when I was a student.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're seeing as well then? I mean, the clients that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. Are you finding that it's the technology that is most inaccessible?
I would say it probably is. We also deal with clothing is an issue because some of the schools have uniforms. And if you have four or five kids, you're going to have to buy uniforms for four or five different kids. And that can be a cost for families.
It seems that, you know, a lot of times the arguments for uniforms is that it does unify the student body and you don't have to compete with who has the nicer clothes. You don't have to spend as much, perhaps, if it was a traditional school without a dress code or without a uniform code. But what do those costs tend to be if you do go to a uniform school?
You have to have, like, they need pants, they need the shirts, they need shoes. So, and you don't want to have the same clothes every day. For families in poverty, that means you have to wash clothes regularly, and washing clothes costs more money. So that can be a cost that families in poverty can incur too. Those are the unseen costs of going back to school.
And Megan, what's your experience?
I mean, I would definitely say technology is huge. I mean, most schools are going what they call one-to-one. So that means a student in a laptop, and they have to go home with that laptop. And so you have to have connectivity to Wi-Fi, and you have to have transportation if you don't have Wi-Fi to your local library or somewhere that does have Wi-Fi. And, you know, for our school system, we don't have uniforms, but I think the biggest thing is shoes is what we find a lot of times because you have to have shoes for your sports and for fall and winter and spring, and they're all different kinds, and they grow. And so, you know, it's got all different sizes. And I think that that is also the huge cost that people don't think about.
That's factored in, it seems, in this Huntington Index. They mm-hmm. they say school fees. So
yeah.
Is that associated to some of these extracurriculars, then the sports
yes.
and all
uh-huh.
that? So are the school districts raising these costs?
I don't think we're necessarily raising them. And I think for at least for our school district, we are very fortunate that we make sure that our schools that our students that get free lunch, they don't have any fees. They get free laptops. But like I said, I think the biggest thing is about the Wi-Fi and having that access to Wi-Fi. And most of our students don't. And I think we have it at the school level. But to go home with that, we try to, you know, reduce barriers. But it's hard for homes that don't have that, and that cost on the family for them to get that Wi-Fi.
You're part of the Campbell County School District.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a pretty large district in northern Kentucky.
Yes.
And you're saying that most of the kids don't have Wi-Fi at home?
I would say most of our kids in poverty don't have Wi-Fi.
Okay. Certain demographics.
Yes, certain. Not all of them. Gotcha. I mean, most of our kids do have Wi-Fi, but I would say the kids in poverty don't. Yes.
I'm wondering, though, because it seems that, you know, those of us in the media are regularly receiving news releases from organizations and school districts that say, well, we scored a grant. We've got a whole bunch of Chromebooks to hand out to kids. We've got a bunch of iPads. We're pairing them up. Is there something that we're missing here? I mean, what does that do to the kids in terms of the cost that they face in order to be prepared for the classroom?
Michael, that's a good question. I don't have a great answer for that. I think that's one of the things that as kids are going back to school every year and as education changes, I think it's one of the constant changing facades of education is as the increased need for technology is that's where we're trying to educate students in terms of being learners, education-based learners with technology. I don't know how that cost factors in because we're still feeling that, I think, every year. And really, technology is such a newer thing for us with this. Like I said, I'm speaking on behalf of the Backpacks and Breakfast event, which is really more of a paper, pens, backpacks, pencils. How do you get the supplies to take away from the few $100 of the actual hard costs, not tech costs? But I think tech ones, that's something we're figuring out as we go.
At what point in the school journey does the technology cost start to rise? Is there a certain grade where suddenly these gadgets, these technological devices become more important to the curriculum?
I would say middle school, sixth grade.
What happens at that point that this becomes more of a requirement?
Well, they are just – most of our – in most school districts, all of your curriculum and your homework assignments are online. And so they have to be submitted through things called Schoology. At least that's what our district is called. And so, or parents, like for them to communicate with schools, a lot of times it's through systems that are online. And so I think that starts really weighing more heavy, especially when they get to sixth grade, because they're also more independent and they have, and so they have to start communicating that as students to their parents and their teachers. But I mean, for us in our school district, I know that that's really where it starts, is sixth grade.
I believe that the Newport School District launched a program that offered access in neighborhoods that maybe have a higher concentration of poverty in them so they could access wireless. Mm-hmm. Is that a trend we're seeing in some areas to assist these kids?
Yeah, I mean, for us, our library opened a library branch further south. So our kids that don't have access to Wi-Fi can access that library that's in our rural areas. And we will also figure out and make it happen. If a kid doesn't have Wi-Fi, we'll make it happen that they can have that and that they have a laptop. We provide those for all of our high school students.
What about the teachers? Are they facing significant burdens as well?
Well, I think that's one of the interesting things as you're asking about technology. I think that's when we're talking about when do the gadgets or when does tech become a really important thing. You know, I think teachers are figuring that out too. But what's interesting about the Huntington Index is if you take a look at that, the only fixed cost between all three grade levels is actually tech. So the technology, whether you're a K through three or a high school student, is actually projected at the same in the index, which I thought was really interesting because that's one of the questions I had is, you know, what are our second graders doing technology fee-based? That's the same as our seniors in high school. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of us still have questions on, especially teachers, is what is the right line on, you know, some of the technologies or the mandatory things you have to do for students versus the old school stuff of there's a fixed cost for pens, paper, pencils, but you don't have the increasing cost of – those don't get more expensive over time. You know, those are pretty fixed cost over school supplies.
Yeah, so what is the – I guess, biggest expense at back-to-school time outside of technology and outside of clothing, apparel, and shoes?
It's probably – I was trying to think about that. For us at St. Vincent de Paul, we help people do their emergency assistance, so I'm trying to tie it in a little bit. And I was going to go back to the tech. When we help people with rent and utility assistance, we go over their budget, and we don't see people having internet services. So that is kind of an interesting issue there. The other thing, I think, for sports, if kids are going to sports and do sports, the parents, they don't have to pay the fees, but mm-hmm. there's that spirit wear that they might want to get or their kids might want to get, so they're not able to get that. So those are the extra costs, some of the extra things I can think of.
Well, let me build on that, because I'm curious about the impact that that might have on kids. I mean, we're thinking about school supplies, and Andy, like you said, you know, people are able to anticipate the cost of pens and papers and those traditional school supplies, but there are other items that go along with being a student in a building, and spirit wear is a good example of that. What impact does it have on a kid when they become aware that perhaps they have less access to things than some of the other ones?
Well, it's psychological impact right away. I mean, there is that, like you mentioned about, you know, when you're in a uniform school system where there is that part of, you know, the dignity and humanity of the student where everyone's going to be dressed in the same way and you're not going to be made fun of because your shoes came from store Y and my shoes came from store Z. I think students can pick up on that at an early age. And then from my end with Backpacks and Breakfast, I think that's what we focus on, is not necessarily the cost of what we put together for families, but what freedom does that allow the family to then let that student get their spirit pack from Holmes High School or something like that, that otherwise without some sort of assistance to cover the cost of school supplies or things like that, there's just not enough room in the fixed budget to go and say, well, now we're going to spend $70 on all your clothes so you look like everybody else that goes to your school when you wear your spirit wear. It is a big thing, and students do feel that. I think it's one thing we don't talk about enough is when those extras are put out there by schools that they are, you know, not everyone's able to access those. And for me, when it comes to back-to-school assistance, I always keep that in my mind is it's great to help with the supplies. That's our goal, is for back-to-school readiness, but to free up that budget, just like BeConcern's model in general for groceries, is to free up that budget so that people can spend money where they need it most, right? Families know where they need their money most. And I think for me, that's what a lot of our assistance does, is provide mm-hmm. that flexibility to families to be able to actually provide what they know they need to provide, whether it's spirit wear or anything else.
But I think that also the school districts, at least in Kentucky, we have family resource centers, and they do a phenomenal job at making sure no child is stigmatized and has what they need. And we also have private funders that help us with that. But they do a phenomenal job of being very discreet when students come in and need something. And we have a lot of great partners that make sure that our kids, you know, hopefully don't feel that way. Obviously, we can't control what other kids are going to do and say, but they are phenomenal and really make sure that they remove those kind of barriers to students learning, because we don't want students in schools, you know, thinking about the fact that they have jeans on that are four days old and have stains. They make sure that that's taken care of, even to go as far as if we have to wash their clothes, we have the ability to do that. So,
and at Campbell County this year, there's a unique situation in that the school district is absorbing a smaller district, uh-huh. a Silver Grove Independent, which folded yes. last year. And I covered a lot of that myself, as Silver Grove weighed whether it should continue or whether it should close. And one of the concerns uh-huh. that we got from the parents in Silver Grove was that that's a poorer community, mm-hmm. and they'll have to acclimate to a district where maybe the demographics are better economically. Yes. Are you dealing with that transition from the Silver Grove families mm-hmm. into the district?
Yeah. And I think it is a huge cultural shock. I think that you're coming from a district where it's a walking district. Everyone knows everybody. And probably the community wraps around those citizens. And Campbell County is a huge, huge district. And but they are all going to one elementary school that's small. So I think that that'll really help with the transition, the middle school and high schoolers. But we have done things with Campbell County. We've had Silver Grove transition nights where they can come just as their school and tour the middle school and the high school. And just today we had Camp Camel where they came and got their lockers and all of those kind of things so they can learn. And hopefully we're trying to assist them as much as we can to make sure that they, you know, acclimate to the environment. So,
all right. So Mary, what is St. Vincent de Paul doing for families as the first day of school nears?
Well, we always provide clothing vouchers for families, so they can call our call center at 421-0602 all the time to find out about getting clothing vouchers to help them. We also help them with their rent and utility assistance, that our food. We have a pantry as well, so that just if, like my friend here said, that if they know the cost they need to make, we can help them do that. There was two things I wanted to just mention. Them going back to school, two costs that families reduce their costs in. One is daycare. Kids are going back to school, so that relieves some of our parents the thought of what is my kid going to do all day. They will be in school, and that's a relief for parents. And then also food costs. Kids can now, like, some of their stress will be relieved because they know they're going to get at least two meals during the day at school, where maybe over the summer it's been kind of back and forth or a touch and go whether or not they were going to get their meals during the week. So.
And Megan, we've talked a little bit about what Campbell Connection does just in the context of the answers to the questions, but what specifically is your role in assisting those disadvantaged students?
So I specifically work with students that fall under the McKinney-Vento Homeless Education Act. So any students that live with other family members due to economic hardship, or they are living on their own, or they're in temporary custody with another relative. And so we make sure that we wrap our hands around those families and make sure that they get assistance and have school stability and assist with transportation. For instance, they are permanently housed in Campbell County Schools, but they become homeless and they're living in Covington Independent Schools. They have the right to go to Campbell County Schools until the end of the year if it's feasible and in their best interest. And so we work with surrounding school districts to make sure that they have a stable education, really is the heart of the program.
And Andy, Be Concerned is a social services agency based in Covington, and you've got an event coming up that's going to help kids who need access to some of these products.
Sure. So Be Concerned is a proud partner with Northern Kentucky Harvest, which is about 20 years old. It's a charity as well. A lot of the work comes from Brighton Center and Be Concerned team members. But we have backpacks and breakfast this Saturday, August 10th at Goble Park, starting 9 in the morning until about 11:30 in the afternoon. We are prepped to give away over 900 backpacks, stuffed with age-appropriate school supplies for any children returning to school in Boone, Campbell, or Kenton County, K-12. Low access, or easy access, low barrier. So you bring your address on a piece of paper, you bring something with your kid's name on it and your ID, and we go ahead and get you all taken care of. Frisch's has been a 20-year partner for that catering breakfast, so not only do kids get the backpacks and the school supplies they need, they get a nice breakfast from Frisch's. We have haircutters this year.
Yeah, 1 year you had haircuts, so they're coming back.
Yeah, they're coming back this year. And we always get great coverage from that for people. And then this year, new with the Safety Net Alliance in Northern Kentucky, we're actually having a resource fair. So trying to keep that backpacks and breakfast being focused on all-around wellness of the families, not just the week of back to school. But that's kind of the biggest thing we have going on right now. And we are short on a little bit of supplies, so I would be remiss to not make an ask, but I know we need notebook paper and notebooks and glue sticks. For the paper, we need College Ruled and Wide Ruled still, and we got a few days to get to where we need to go, but we're working it.
Well, that was my next and last question was, how does the community respond? What is something that, you know, we see a lot of the ads maybe on social media from every police department does their Cram the Cruiser event where people will come to whatever parking lot and dump school supplies into a police cruiser, or different organizations hosting similar events and activities. But what is something that the community in general maybe doesn't realize is an opportunity for them to help out?
Well, for us, it's more at the pantry level, just making sure that we have a lot of different variety of foods at our pantry that are healthy, fruits and vegetables, and we can give those out on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays so that we can help families also with the food part while they're going to use the money that they need to use for other supplies. So that would help us out a lot.
And we have links to all of your organizations at WVXU.org in the Cincinnati Edition tab. Megan, did you want to say something else?
I would say for me, and the biggest thing that our Northern Kentucky Homeless Education Collaborative would probably say, you know, I wanted you to say that on air, was, you know, we always do back to school and have this huge push. But I think that throughout the school year, especially since we have such a transient population that are moving through all these school districts, and even though we try to keep them in their home school through the McKinney-Vento Homeless Education Act, I think that it would be amazing just to have it throughout the whole school year.
Yep.
And those kids do feel as comfortable as they can going into a new school in the beginning, in the middle of the school year. So,
And our thanks to Megan Von Handorf, Mary Reed, and Andy Brunsman for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Bye. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.